You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this Matt's Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. How you doing?
I'm good, man. We'll see if I'm still good after we get done talking about this system. But
yeah, we're talking about the Miami Marlins, and this may actually be just a Prospect Minute.
If any team is going to be... I actually think the Angels system is a little better than the Marlins because the Angels have two guys at the top that are could be something, and the Marlins have just one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they're not every system can be as nice as the Cubs or the Brewers or the Yankees or the Cubs. Or I said the Cubs. You know, we do need the Angels and the Marlins to kind of make sure we don't have to record too much.
Yeah, definitely. So thanks, Jeffrey Loria. Appreciate it.
Exactly. So why don't we just go ahead and jump in and talk about the guy you were talking about at the top of their system. Who is it, and what are they worth to you?
Well, Braxton Garrett, he's not going to pitch in the majors this year, so he's not a redraft ad at all. He was a first-round pick for them this year, then high school arm out of Alabama. He's looking at a guy, fastball's low 90s, can get up to 94. Above average curveball and a changeup that flashes would potentially be plus. It's probably his best offering. Good body, not going to grow too much. He's 6'3", 190. I mean, it's ideal frame for the lefty. Kind of has a 3/4 arm slot. He doesn't jump off the page when you watch the YouTube videos. He just looks like a guy, but everything's there. It's the highest ceiling I've heard people put the highest floor high school arm that they've seen in the last few years. I've seen him comped to John Lester and Cole Hamels. So those are nice names to be around. He's got plus command, impressive control. He uses good sequencing. He's an intelligent kid. He's probably a number two starter in the majors with that keeps his walk rate down and is an asset in whip. So I like him going forward. I like him a lot. But all it'll right. be a few years. So,
what about anybody else that is somewhat close or that may make a major impact, even if it's not huge?
I like Jarlin Garcia, another lefty, 6'2", 170, little tiny guy out of the Dominican Republic. He was hurt last year. He had a triceps injury. Fastball can get to the sits in the low to mid 90s. Has a curveball, changeup. Throws a harder slider. The curveball is a little bit ahead of the other ones. None of the off-speed pitches are consistent enough. He's probably going to start the year in Double A. He could be a reliever just because of the profile. If you want to extract as much value out of him and get that low 90s heat with that power slider, he could be a dominant late inning left-handed reliever. Or if the Marlins want to play those long slow game, he can be probably a decent mid rotation arm. Probably a number four, more realistic. The velocity's premium for a left-hander. He's going to grow a little bit, but the upside is not that exciting for, not even for fantasy, not even for dynasty or keeper formats.
All right, what about like is anything ever going to come of Tyler Kolek? Or
see, that's tough. I still think so. He missed a season with Tommy John surgery. Yeah, it was probably an overdraft. The velocity used to be up in the 100 miles an hour range. Now it's 93, 96. So now you have to learn how to pitch. Now you can't just throw. And he struggled with that. He has a curveball and a slider that can that flash plus, but they're so inconsistent. No changeup for lefties, so he's a kind of vulnerable to the platoons. The mechanics are bad. Let's see if they're getting reworked when he comes back. He kind of used to throw across his body, led to a little bit of injuries. He's going to miss the start of the season. I don't know when he might come back around June as he recovers. If he comes back healthy, it depends on what they want to do. If they want to rush him, he can be a potential power reliever. If they want to take his time to let him develop, he could still develop into a number two fantasy starter. I mean, if you have him, he's probably owned in every dynasty keeper format out there now just because he was number two pick in the draft years ago over guys like Carlos Rodon and stuff like that. Oops. But, I mean, he's a guy, when he comes back, he's not going to be a whip asset, but he can pile up strikeouts, so he'll be fantasy relevant. It's just, it's really hard to project the role right now.
And I think that's fair. I mean, coming off Tommy John, we don't really know what, you know, the surgery has been pretty successful on a pretty regular rate. So hopefully he can, you know, get back to what people saw in him when he went number two overall. I think at this point he's, you know, you got to weigh in the fact that he'd be far away even if he wasn't hurt. And he was struggling before he was hurt, and now he's hurt. So it's, you probably got to just stick away and hope for the best later on.
Yeah. I guess a guy that could make an impact this year for the Marlins, he came up last year, pitched 15 games out of the bullpen. And if you look down at the rate stats, the peripheral stats aren't bad. He just had horrendous luck in 14 innings. Austin Bryce in 14 innings, he gave up two homers. The ERA spiked over 7 in his limited bullpen time. He's kind of a swingman reliever type, throws low to mid 90s, gets up to the mid 90s out of the pen, throws a lot of strikes. Like I said, his rate stats in the minors were good, limited hits, kept the walks down, struck out. You're looking at a guy about 7-8 guys per 9, which isn't great, but he gets a lot of ground balls, and that's his bread and butter there. Anybody that pitches in Miami as a home park is interesting, to an extent, at least at home. So I like Austin Bryce a little bit. Not a guy you're going to invest anything in, but just be aware, if he gets in a rotation with some injuries, he can be a streamer.
All right. Anyone else to talk about? I mean, I know it's a really, really shallow system.
Yeah, it's not great. I like Luis Castillo. He was the kid. He was more famous for the guy being sent to the Padres, and then he had to come back to the Marlins because Colin Ray had a elbow injury, so the Marlins got him back. He's probably a reliever, I think, long term, but he's a dominant late inning guy. He throws hard, tops out at 101, sits 96, 99, but he's so far. I mean, he's in Double A, only threw 14 innings in Double A, so he's so far away. But tons of Ks. The walks are going to be up there though, so I think he's a power reliever. But
and then I mentioned Thomas Jones, who was their third round draft pick. This last draft, as a guy that's a stashable, real deep dynasty league kind of guy. What are your thoughts on Thomas Jones?
I like him. He was a two-sport guy, football. He had a Vanderbilt commitment, so that's always plus, right? Everyone always likes the Vanderbilt commitments. Obviously, it's a good school, baseball and academic-wise, so can't go wrong with that. The Marlins gave him $1 million. He had a hamstring injury last year, so I mean, pretty much throw out everything he did last year. But that needs to see, and hopefully that's not a reoccurring thing because his best tool is his legs. He's a plus runner. The plate approach is non-existent right now. It was good in a limited stint, but supposedly it's raw. Baseball HQ, they comp him to Mike Cameron Maben, kind of in that range. That's kind of a big gap, but. You're looking at a guy who can be exciting. He's very similar to Stone Garrett, who I had as Marlins' top prospect last year. He's a toolsy guy. Except for Garrett had the off-the-field issues where he missed time because he stabbed his teammate in a prank.
Wait, I thought he was the one who got stabbed. He's the one who did the stabbing?
He did the stabbing.
Okay. There's a big difference
I'm sorry.
Because I thought Josh Naylor did the stabbing.
Josh Naylor did the stabbing.
Yeah.
Garrett was the stabby.
Yes.
So
we're not going to mark him down for being the stabby.
No, don't mark him down for being the stabby. But he did miss the rest of the season with a hand injury because of it. So,
mm-hmm.
Plus bat speed, raw power. He can run a little bit. 2020 upside if you dream on it. But he's so far away and so raw that it's hard to project anything like that. He's very similar to Thomas Jones, the guy you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the last guy really worth mentioning is Brian Anderson. Had a really big fall league. College bat from University of Arkansas. Was a catcher. Now he's playing first and third base, which doesn't make it all that exciting. If he can play second base, that'd be great, which there's a little bit of talk in there. But I think he's a guy, he can hit 20 homers down the line. It won't be a big batting average star, probably 250-ish, but I mean that's fantasy valuable, I guess, to an extent, especially in NL only. Austin Dean's a fourth outfielder. He'll be up probably sometime this year late. Dylan Peters, I liked him coming out of the University of Texas. Small lefty, 5'9", good curveball, probably a back end guy or a swing guy, but he'll be around. Teron Guerrero throws hard, reliever profile. But yeah, this system is not good, to say the least.
All right, well that's depressing, and we'll end on that note. You can reach Matt Thompson on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter, Justin Mason, FWFB. Email me, the show, or just Friends of Fantasy Benefits in general at friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Definitely check out everything we got on the site, podcasts, ranks, articles, lots of great stuff going up on a daily basis right now. I hope you're enjoying all the podcasts, the preview podcasts, and the mini pods that Matt and I are doing, and maybe Matt and other people will do. We'll see. And then definitely give us a 5-star review on iTunes. If you do, it will get you entered in to one of our listener leagues or eligible for some of the giveaways that we will be having at some point in the off or during this off season. That will wrap us up for Matt and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.